Hey, this is Brad Biley, and you just found Insights, the most listened to podcast by recruiters and staffing owners who want to learn what's working in recruitment and digital marketing. If you're new to the show, here's what you can expect to hear. Every other week, Matt Lozar, Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, and I, our Director of Digital Marketing, break down what's working for staffing and recruiting firms across North America. But Insights is not a marketing show. It's a show built to help you get more job orders and more applications. And whether you stumbled upon the show or you're here on purpose, we're glad you're here. Let's get to it. What's up? It's Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we feeling this week, buddy?
We're feeling good, Brad. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Actually feeling really good this week, Matt. So I appreciate you asking. Matt, at time of recording, it's Masters week.
It is.
How do we feel?
I mean, it's my favorite golf tournament of the year. The place just looks immaculate. It's a lot of fun. So looking forward to enjoying the weekend. And by the time this drops, everyone will know that Scottie Scheffler was more than likely the winner unless his wife goes into labor, which is a huge side plot in the first world golf community. But we'll see how it goes. I think it's just a fun tournament to watch.
You know what else looks immaculate, Matt, is my grass outside. Ooh. You're talking about Augusta, man. We are getting some great weather in Buffalo. We are getting green. And I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. I'm not ready to cut. For friends of the show, you know that this is also a lawn care conversation as much as it is about digital and recruitment marketing. Mm-hmm. I am not ready to cut. We're going to let her get real thick. But we're looking good, buddy. It's going to be a good year. I can feel it.
We are. It's early April, but we had a couple 70-degree days, which if you're in the lawn care world, rain and some warm weather, warmer than you would think, just greens everything up. So we could have some nice plush lawns this year that you're going to have to keep everyone off to. Hopefully, it's always a constant battle when you love your lawn is foot traffic hurts it. But as my wife would say, why else do you have a lawn if you can't walk on it?
And
here we are.
Right. I got a two-year-old who loves to run around and dig things. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. I probably won't win the battle, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we win Lawn of the Year this year. An absolutely unofficial contest on the street. I have not won yet, but we're laying the groundwork. We're laying the framework. You know, you win Lawn of the Year in April. So we're getting after it, Matt. But hey, what do you say? You want to get to the show, buddy?
Let's get to the show.
All right, man. I had a great talk with a client the other day who issued a pretty good question to me, Matt, and I wanted to bring it to the show and actually told them, well, sit tight, listen to the episode, and you'll get your answer. They're looking at launching a couple new offices in 2024. And in doing so, he said, Brad, what should we do from a marketing standpoint to make sure that people know about our new locations? And assume that money isn't an issue. Assume there's no sort of, don't put yourself in any sort of box, right? So we're opening some new offices. What should you do, or what do you recommend we do? So Matt, I wanted to bring the conversation here, kind of bounce some ideas back and forth. I know I shared some of my ideas ahead of time with you, but when we're opening a new office, Matt, let me get started. Maybe we'll just go back and forth like we've done in the past, sort of round robin style. I think the first thing you want to do when you open a new office is make sure that all of your existing framework is updated, your website, any letterhead you might have, any collateral that you might need. Do you have location pages on your website, contact forms on your website? Do you have sort of the existing infrastructure that you have that says, hey, we have offices in Buffalo and Cleveland and now Miami? Is all of that updated? Is all of that crystal clear so that anybody coming to the site knows, hey, this is who you are? So I think step one is sort of auditing where all of your locations are and then making sure that that's updated. Matt, where do I go from there?
I don't know if I want to go into tactics. Maybe you can help us here because I think you've been working on this. Where I want to go is I've talked about this with another client that's in the Oklahoma area and they jumped into another market. But I think the challenge, I don't want to go with visibility awareness, which is what we'll talk about, I'm sure. But
yeah,
I think credibility is the challenge.
Okay.
Because I'm going into a new market, I'm a new staffing company. But there's tons of other options, staffing companies or not staffing companies for the candidate. So I think that the framework's a great place to start, actually, with the credibility, which I didn't tell you what I was thinking about with that. Because if you're new and I go to your website and it doesn't work, or the contact us doesn't work, your address isn't there, you don't have a Google location.
Yeah.
Like, minus a lot of points. Not just one, a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's first impression.
That's actually a good way to think of it. If you start with 100 points, how many are you losing by not doing these things instead of adding, right? Credibility is interesting, right? So if you're expanding to a new market, no one knows who you are. You might be the best staffing firm in Buffalo, New York, but if you're not following a client to Miami, you need credibility. So Matt, I might say that in that regard, we need to make sure that we have testimonials for the other locations. We need to make sure we have reviews of the other locations. We need case studies and case stories. We need data, right? We need data that differentiates us, that says, hey, this is our time to fill. This is our speed to fill. This is our longevity in the industry. This is what makes us so great, not just because we say we're great, but because we have the numbers to back it up. And this is why we're coming to Miami. This is why we're coming to whatever city. But we have all of that credibility booster to drive us into that market. I think that's a great point.
We probably jumped ahead in the funnel, the pyramid, inverted pyramid that CEO David Stern's probably yelling us about with Ada. We jumped into the interest desire, which is always a little
you
messy.
You need awareness first.
Yeah, say awareness first. Is right.
I can hear him from the back room.
So we should probably start with an awareness and how we get people knowing about it. And it's simple, but it's going to take a lot of time, especially if you're brand new to a market.
Yeah. And you know, we will typically challenge clients when they say, oh, well, I'm here for awareness, or I need impressions, or I want people to know who we are, right? And we always say, well, what's the actual business goal in that? But I would argue when you're launching a new location, you absolutely need air cover. You need awareness, right? Because no one knows who you are. You need that visibility. So you need things like Facebook ads, Google ads, maybe LinkedIn ads. You need visibility in the sense of, maybe we're going to email a Dream 100 list. We're going to get in front of these people. We need to make sure that we're running the right advertising across social, across Google's landscape, because posting organically isn't going to do anything. No one's going to see it. You have no audience, right? You're new to the area. So you absolutely need that awareness. And I might even layer in, Matt, things like organic search, SEO, making sure that you're playing that long game, right? To build awareness. But Matt, I think that's a great point.
I want to take a step back even and get away from the online digital. Is you need some in the real world. We need billboards are seem, you know, I sometimes say they're not a waste of money, but you have no idea on the ROI on that, besides the person that sold it to you said 874,000 people drive by it every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But you need billboards, you need some kind of advertisements. If it's a press release going out to news organizations, if people they just need to see you and see, this is where the 7, 10, 12, 15 touch points is super important with that awareness. Then, like I jumped ahead with the interest desire, all that stuff Brad talked about, the testimonials, case studies, data that backs you up, you know, why you versus why everyone else can play together. So I think the in the real world is also important. It can be a little more expensive, but it's going to help in this physically moving into a new location.
So I want to touch on two things. One, I want to talk on print collateral in the real world, and then I want to talk on billboards. So if I get distracted, remind me to come back to billboards. With print collateral, your team needs a starter pack. You need, all of your sales reps need those 5 to 10 assets that they can bring to a call or a meeting, rather, and say, hey, here's who we are, here's what we do. More importantly, if I'm hearing friction in the sales process, here's how we solve that problem, or here's how we reduce that friction. But then that can be turned on for Buffalo, Cleveland, Miami, wherever. Matt the sales rep, Brad the sales rep. You have sort of these standardized, I'm going to call it a starter pack or a starter kit. You have this kit that anytime you hire a new sales rep, you open a new location, you have those assets ready to go. The only thing you're changing is name and location. Super, super easy. So I would encourage any staffing and recruiting firm to have that. Billboards. They're growing on me, Matt. I get on different waves when it comes to marketing, and I think that's normal. You look at somebody like Imagine Staffing, and we talked about them on the show before. I didn't like the billboard approach at first. I also didn't like the partnership with Stefan Diggs at first. It grew on me though, because when you partner yourself with somebody like that, and I know he's not Buffalo anymore, that's neither here nor there, but when you partner yourself with somebody like that, it instantly adds credibility. And if you're new to a market and you can do something like that, and you can have the backing of somebody in a seat like that on a billboard that is everywhere that people see, you're automatically getting in getting those eyeballs and getting those impressions. And it might not convert. You might not get a job order or a candidate directly from the billboard, but it's sort of that air cover like we're talking about, right? And I think that might be a good play, assuming the price is right. And I don't know the price of a billboard.
This is where, with recruitment marketing, I'm at right now, is everybody wants quality candidates yesterday, or let's say tomorrow,
yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
But with billboards, it's similar because you have to take longer term approaches with this. And you have the billboard, let's say, go out tomorrow. You're probably not getting business the next day. You might, but it's going to be a longer term play and looking, okay, we started to implement A, B, C, and D. What metrics do we want to look at in, I don't know if 3 months is enough, 6 months, 12 months?
Right.
Did we get more leads? Did we close more leads? Did our quality increase on the lead side? Same thing on the candidate side. That's right. Where I think with billboards, it has to look at the longer term effects, because I never knew about Imagine Staffing in Buffalo before I saw this advertising.
I'm
in the
either.
Sports world. I didn't know about Trusted Nurse Staffing. They're all over, the number one healthcare staffing partner of the Buffalo Sabres, which I watch a lot because my daughter plays hockey, but they're everywhere and they're spending a boatload of money, but people know about them. And if I knew healthcare staffing need, they're number one, literally.
Do you know, let me ask you this. Do you know any other staffing firms in Buffalo?
Maybe a couple here and there, but not off the top of my head.
Can you name them? I was going to say, can you name them?
No, this is where I'm probably going to get fired though.
I don't know that you would.
No, I don't think
that's a fair question. But the point is, you know those two because of what they're doing, right? I also know there's one, I think there's Coastal Staffing Services.
Sure.
It's on Sheridan. I see that one all the time.
We're going to keep this in and not cut it out, but
yeah, that's fine.
See how it goes. Anyway.
Yeah, man. I'll be honest. I think when you look at launching a new location or opening a new branch, whatever it might be, ultimately, you need to know, you got something to say.
If I don't say Lighthouse Technology Services, Randy Harris may come and bet take out our knees.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah, we got to say that.
Real good friend of the show. Yeah. So Randy, who was just on the show. Yes, Lighthouse. Absolutely. Good friend of the program. Good save, buddy. Real good save. So friends, if you're thinking about opening a new location, I think at the end of the day, Matt outlined it very well. How do you run that ADA model? So awareness, interest, desire, action. And then think about, how do you create that air cover for your sales team? You're new. Let's assume no one knows who you are. You have credibility in another market. What does that mean for somebody in your new city? How do you have and come to the party with that credibility on day one? And then ultimately, how do you get people to take action? And then Matt also alluded to a really good point of, how are you going to quantify all of this? How are you going to know the office is a success in 3, 6, 12 months, whatever it might be? Is it going to be on actual orders, placements, whatever it might be? You're not going to quantify, impressions on a billboard don't pay your bills, but it might drive to the applications or the placements or whatever it might be, and those people on assignment, where then you do actually have a quantifiable number. Are you ready to make an impact this year? Our newest ebook gives you 33 of the best ideas to drive more sales and better marketing for your staffing firm. I'm going to share a link in just a second, and from there, you can download that ebook or request a free lead generation strategy session that will give you the roadmap to more leads. Just visit haleymarketing.com/make an impact to get your copy today. That's haleymarketing.com/make an impact. All right, back to the show. Matt, let's get to segment two. You have rockstar marketing. And friends, I don't know that I was briefed on this one. And if I was, I forgot about it. Matt, you want to talk about Fubo, right?
Sure. Fubo TV, not the clothing brand. But whenever I cut cord a long time ago, I went to Fubo TV. It's a big hockey podcast, apparently, because they're the only streaming service in Western New York that actually carries Buffalo Sabres games. That's also,
yeah, I don't get the games.
No, they're not on YouTube TV, which doesn't make sense to me, but that's for the streaming podcast. Anyway, yep. Fubo TV, you've had them for a number of years. It's like an app on your TV or yourself, your phone, wherever you want to log in and watch TV. Typical streaming service. And one of my TVs is older. I guess I probably bought it in 2016 when we moved into this new house and needed something in the living room. And got an email a couple months ago that said, "Hey, Matt, this TV isn't going to support our app." And I'm like, "Oh, that stinks. However, click here." And then it felt spammy for a second. "But click here, go to Amazon, we'll send you a free Fire Stick."
Wow.
So that's cool.
So they want you to maintain Fubo TV, and they're going to give you the free tool to do it.
Yeah, they. I don't know. I'm interested if they cut a deal with Fire Stick, probably not, but it's $50, or whatever it was, yeah. And they sent you one, and you can now obviously you plug it into the back of your TV, and your TV hard software can be bypassed. Amazon Fire Stick is a newer piece of software that can run newer apps in 2024 instead of my old TV that's 8 years old, and it could keep running Fubo on this TV. So instead of thinking that Matt would change to a different streaming service, we're gonna reach out unsolicited, had no idea,
proactive,
and send them this.
I love that. I love the fact that they're using their data to their advantage. They know that you're going to be sunsetting that TV. They don't want to lose you as a customer. And the lifetime value of maintaining you as a customer is worth a lot more to them than $50. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking, shoot, we'll send you the Amazon stick, the Fire Stick, and that's going to marginal cost in the great scheme of things so that you can maintain Fubo TV. I'm all for that. Friends, to spin zone that to staffing and recruiting, what do you know about your candidates? What do you know about your clients? What do you know about your data? I would argue, and maybe this is a strong stereotype, you don't know nearly enough. And in your CRMs and in your databases, if you know enough, you're not tracking it. And unfortunately, I have too many conversations with individuals who say that their databases are kind of worthless because the data is so muddy in there that they can't use it effectively. Matt, I had one client who's been trying to roll out some automation with a partner in the industry for about a year and a half. And they haven't been able to because the data that they have access to isn't working properly with the automation tool because the data isn't clean. So not only can they not deploy automation, but they're wasting time doing data cleaning. Friends, to Matt's Fubo example, what can you learn about your candidates? What can you learn about your clients so that you can... Let's stay on the candidate wave, Matt. Can you look at your candidate database and look at who is no longer working with you? Redeploy them. Can you look at people who worked with you 6 months ago who are not on assignment? Reactivate them. Redeploy them. Friends, our redeployment numbers stink as an industry, as an average. What are you doing to get people back to work? We've already earned their trust. Are you using your database effectively to drive repeat business, put people back on assignment because you have the data at your fingertips? Add anything else you want to add there?
No, I think there's probably specific examples. I'm sure some companies are sending out the reminders that Matt's assignment's ending in 3 days. Yeah. What do you need next? But even I'm thinking, I'm trying to think client side, which is total 180 for me. But let's say end of the year, I know Brad's staffing agency needs to ramp up. I'm not just going to reach out. I'm going to say, hey, here's 20 candidates I have that can start for you tomorrow. Like, take it the extra step and go that way.
Hey, last year we know that you reached out to us because you needed 20 material handlers, whatever it might be. We know that time is coming up for you. We've already vetted some people who are ready to go. We can have them to your location when you're ready, but know that we're ready when you are. We've already put in the groundwork. Love that idea, Matt. So again, using your data effectively. On the client side, it's probably looking at people that you're not working with who you used to work with, and having automations and campaigns set up to make sure that you're staying in front of them, figuring out why you're not working with them right now. It might be trying to get repeat business or new business. Matt, one thing that I think we struggle with is going across the company and trying to get into different departments, right? So how do we know, hey, we're working with A and B, but we also want to work in C and D?
The challenge you got something to me with this, with the automation is be better than just sending the automation. Because that's what my example did. They weren't like, hey, Matt, we know our app is going to be sunsetted, this version of it, on your TV. So, you know, you need the new app. Sorry, figure it out. It was, hey, Matt, we know your app's getting sunsetted on this TV. Here's the solution. You had to click two buttons, right? I had to click and then almost really one click on Amazon, right? We've talked about that a myriad time, amount of times. But they gave me the solution. Right. Haley Marketing, it's a deliver a wow. It's shareworthy service. It's hospitality. That's what a big push for us here is. So that's taking that next step, not just acknowledging the problem, thinking and providing that solution in that same context.
Yeah. You got my wheels turning now, Matt, because I'm thinking about all the emails that we might send out that were addressing, hey, you're in this situation. Mm-hmm. and here's a blog that addresses it, or here's a resource that addresses it, without saying, hey, and here's what I can do to solve it, right? Here's the solution for you. I actually like that a lot, Matt. And even thinking about how we deploy different messaging on social and providing, hey, here's the tip, but also here's the solution, right? So here's if you want to do it yourself, but also here's how we might be able to help. That's like you're talking about material handlers. It's getting ahead of it. It's, hey, we know last Christmas season, you reached out to us for 20 material handlers. Great. We're ready to go. And reaching out in September or October, getting ahead of it, or even sooner, having a conversation. But Matt, I like where you took that in saying, listen, it's not just an email addressing the problem. Mm-hmm. It's also providing the solution. And friends, we need to be better. I agree with Matt. We need to be better in thinking about that to drive more business, drive more applications in 2024. Matt, I got one more for you. And I want to talk about closing the loop as it relates to marketing. And this is something that you deal with a lot in recruitment marketing. It's something that I deal with a lot in the more business development side of marketing. It's the difference between marketing numbers and marketing jargon and actual results. And I just wanted to have a conversation with you about it. And maybe we start on the recruitment marketing side of things, right? I can, and we even started talking about this on segment one. I can tell you, Matt Staffing Firm, with what we did, you know, you got in front of 4,000 people. Let's say 1,000. Easy number. 1,000 people. That doesn't do anything. At the end of the day, getting in front of 1,000 people with a billboard doesn't do anything. Putting people to work in great opportunities pays your bills. You need to close that loop. So Matt, I'm sitting here thinking, how do we better close the loop? What do we do? And how do we have the conversation from a marketing standpoint to say, listen, here's actually the number we need to be looking at?
I would go back to, this is a challenge, because I want to go back to the business goal. I don't know if that's fully realistic. I actually had a conversation with this on a client yesterday, and they do a lot of school staffing in schools, like SLPs, BCBAs, RBTs, that kind of staffing. And their CMO is talking to their board, and they don't understand, like, can't just directly attribute marketing to dollars and cents, because it's
which is normal in our industry.
Correct. And that's what, you know, she's trying to say is, yeah, it's not just, okay, we spent a bunch of money on the job board, we got 150 applies, we got 120 quality, we placed 50, whatever the numbers are, I made them up.
Right.
It can be, okay, they may have applied to us multiple times, and with our ATS, it overwrites it the second time. So that changes everything. Or they may have seen us at a career fair. Their friend may have talked to them, but then it's also relying on all this other data. But I think with recruitment marketing, it's trying to understand, you know, what's the goal? But all this stuff plays together. And I'm dancing around it. I don't have a great answer. Yeah. So Brad needs to hone me in here and get me more focused, but I'm struggling to articulate what I'm thinking.
I think you're right though. So it's understanding we're starting to deploy X. Are we seeing a lift in our goal because of it? And being aware of, okay, in Q1, here's what we did. We started to invest more money in Indeed and we started running Facebook ads. Great. Did we get more applications as a result of those two things? Yes or no? If yes, great. We can try to go backwards and say, okay, well, where did they specifically come from? If no, okay, well, then that didn't work. But Matt, it is very difficult, and I'm trying to get it out of staffing for a second and think about a company like any sort of direct to consumer. Go ahead.
I might have one. Somehow Neil Patel is doing a ton of SEO webinars right now.
He's in your world, man.
He is.
He is in your world right now.
He also talks 800 miles an hour, kind of like me, so it connects, and I don't need him on 2X. Anyway, he's been talking about SEO, and I'm super interested in the case studies at the beginning of his webinar. And he's talking about SEO and ongoing SEO, and you got to do it right. I'm not going to get into the tactics, but the case studies are talking about in the first 3 months of our program, in the first 6 months of our program, the amount of visits to the Contact Us page went up some crazy percent. It wasn't just the form submissions. It was the goal of getting traffic to the right pages on their website. And I think that's, I don't know if it's B2B or B2C, But that's what I'm trying to get us out of staffing and just think about, that's what, you know, a pretty big marketing company is thinking about, an agency, and driving traffic for their clients.
I brought the conversation, and I'm stuttering a little bit because I brought the conversation because I don't think I have a super clear answer either. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to talk to you about it and use this like we do as therapy for 5 to 10 minutes here. When I look at a client goal, right? So let's sort of just start fresh here. When I look at a client goal of, Brad, we need more orders. Right now, business is down. We need more orders. Instinctively, I always typically will start with, well, why aren't you getting orders now? Where is the pain? Where are you hearing no? Okay. Do you need more orders, or do you need more new clients, or do you need more orders from who you already are talking to? Right. Mm-hmm. So where are you hearing no? And then slowly peel it back until we get to a point where it's like, okay, well, here's what we need to do. Okay. From there, we then identify, okay, how are we going to quantify leads? How are we going to get people to the door? And then that's the number we track. I don't necessarily always care about the impressions, whatever the visibility. I want to know how many people are getting to a landing page, how many people are getting to a contact page, how many people are then ultimately clicking, getting to the thank you page of that. And Matt, I think that is where I want to stress here is we need to look as far down the funnel as possible while also being aware of what's happening at the top of the funnel. Because if the top of the funnel isn't growing, then the bottom of the funnel also is not. So when I say we need to close the loop, and I think about, okay, are we growing? Is what we're doing working? We need to look at what is that one number. Okay, maybe it's form fills on an ebook. That is what you're targeting for Q2. That also needs to equate to, is the top of the funnel also growing? Go.
I think it's right. Like the form fills on an ebook. I was thinking lead tracking software, IP tracking software with leads right now, where if I see how many companies are going to the website, and my goal is to get 100 more of those in a month. Great.
Yes.
That could work. However, and Brad was kind of in my head, almost read my mind here. What are we doing to drive those people to the page? Just because we're putting the software on a website or have an ebook with form fills, people aren't going to fill it out. We've talked about
this. Field of dreams, baby.
If you build it, they will come, I guess. But we've talked about this with blogging all the time, and people are like, well, why am I getting contact us conversions off blogs on my website? What are you doing to share the blogs? What are you doing to get people to this ebook? What are you doing to get people to your Why Work With Us page on your website? All the guts can be under there, but if you don't get people in the top of the funnel, big Ada episode here, don't get people in the top of the funnel for awareness and interest and desire to take the action, there's no silver bullet. There's nothing there. You have to help. You have to have it all help each other and set it up for success.
Yeah. So Neil Patel's in your world. Alex Hormozi is in mine lately. And he says that there's no such thing as a silver bullet, but there are 100 golden BBs. And I love that. And we need to think about the 100 BBs that we're firing out to get people to our website, to get people to convert and take action. And Matt, I love when we get there, right? Sometimes we bring a segment and friends, I know that we don't typically air the videos of these on YouTube yet. That is coming. We're working on it. Thank you. Spoiler alert. But when I watch Matt, sometimes I feel like I can just see the wheels click and the wheels start to turn. But friends, we do need to think about as far down the funnel as possible, but also how are we filling the funnel? Because if the funnel isn't being filled, then it's not going to be growing at the bottom. And that is how we close the loop. Matt, anything else before we get out of this one?
No, we got there. 141 episodes. We were struggling in segment 3, but we worked through it. Our therapy session was great. We got there at the end. So proud of us.
That's our show. And thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we would love to know. You can message Matt or Brad on LinkedIn to share your thoughts. If you have a question for us, you can tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can email info@haleymarketing.com and be sure you tell them Insights sent you. My podcast partner, Matt Lozar. This is Brad Biley. See you next time.